Of our voices, meet them at the point of their need, and then give them super.
Yes,
above, oh God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord, to the homes that are represented, the families that are represented tonight, Lord. Bless, oh God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for spiritual authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. Satan, Lord God, we rebuke you and the satanic cord, we curse you from the root, command you to be bound in Jesus' name. And Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the harvest on the seed sown tonight. We thank you, Lord, for 30, 60, 100 fold, even 1,000 fold increase in blessing in Jesus' name. And we give you the glory, we give you the honor, we give you the praise. We bless your name tonight. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Last Tuesday, we started a teaching, the 9 types of prayer. And we learned.
I can hardly hear him.
You can hardly hear me? Okay. Can you hear me better now?
Just a little.
Uh-huh. I can hear you good.
I don't know. I'm on myself.
Okay. Last week, we started on new teaching, the 9 types of prayer. And they are prayer of petition or faith, prayer of agreement, prayer of supplication, prayer of dedication. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Prayer of praise, worship, and thanksgiving. The casting all your cares upon the Lord prayer. United prayer, or what we call corporate prayer. Intercessory prayer. And hallelujah. Praying in the Spirit. So we dealt with last week, we dealt with the prayer petition for faith. And tonight we're going to deal with the prayer of agreement. And we're going to actually play this audio twice.
Amen.
The first time we'll play it and we'll talk about it and any questions or comments, and then we're going to play it the second time and be concerned about the addresses that are given. Make sure you write them down. Hallelujah. Thank you.
What is sometimes referred to as the prayer of faith, and today we're covering the prayer of agreement. So let's just jump right in and see what it is. The first question we have is, what is a prayer of agreement? A prayer of agreement is often touted within churches where they'll say that, you know, when two or more of you stand in agreement with each other, something shall be done for you or you shall receive it. But how do we do that, and how do we back that up in Scripture, and what exactly does that look like? Well, I'm going to tell you that if you didn't watch yesterday's teaching, I encourage you, either after this teaching or now, go back and watch it and then come back to this one. But you do need to watch it. And the reason why, a prayer of agreement is the same exact thing as the prayer of faith. The only difference is that when you're saying a prayer of faith, it's only one person who's praying it. When you say a prayer of agreement, you have two or more people standing in agreement on a prayer of faith. So a prayer of agreement is the same exact thing as a prayer of faith. That's just that two or more people are standing in agreement on it. That being said, there's a couple things you need to know. The first one is that when you're praying a prayer of agreement, before you go to pray it, everyone who's praying must be in complete agreement. I will also tell you that this is not united prayer or corporate prayer. We'll be covering that next week. But this is a prayer usually among 2 to 3 people. Now, yes, it can be more than that, but usually you limit it to 2 to 3 people. And then I'll explain reasons on united prayer and corporate prayer why that is. But typically we want to limit this to just a couple people. Now, when you pray a prayer of agreement, what you're basically doing is a prayer of faith is where you find a promise within God's word that you stand upon that directly speaks or can be applied to your specific situation. And when you do that, you turn around and you get two or more people to stand in agreement with you. But you must be in agreement beforehand, not focusing on the problem, but focusing on the answer and the desired outcome. And then once you make that prayer of faith or prayer of agreement made before the Lord, when you present your petition before the Lord, those two or more people stay standing in agreement until it has manifested or come to pass, until the answer has manifested or come to pass. The reason why it's important with two or more people is sometimes you might have one person feeling a little down or maybe feeling a little beat up, and that's where your prayer partner comes in to help and encourage you. If you are doing a prayer of agreement with someone and you begin to doubt, now not doubt in your heart, but doubt in your head about whether it's going to happen or it'll be answered, you're to reach out directly to your prayer partner immediately for encouragement. When you reach out to them, it's very important that you don't elaborate on why you're down or don't elaborate on the doubt that's circling within your mind, because you don't want to negatively impact them, and then you both start lining up in agreement on doubt that you don't want to do. What you're simply doing is as accountability. You're contacting the other person who's praying with you or people, and you simply say, guys, I'm struggling today. I need you to be boast me up. I need you to lift me up. Let's do some prayer on this. And let them go ahead and minister to you. And as they minister to you, you'll find that you'll bounce back quickly. Whatever doubt was trying to impede you or trying to jump in your mind is now gone, and you're back on track. Now, also keep in mind that there's a difference between doubting in our minds and doubting in our hearts. There are times that you're going to have thoughts that come in your mind where you may doubt the outcome or doubt whether you're going to receive what you prayed about. But to doubt in your mind is not the same thing as to doubt in your heart. To doubt in your heart means you doubt that the Lord is capable of providing that for you, and that's when you lose the blessing or what you're believing for. Mm. The doubt in your mind, you have to deal with it. It's okay if doubt comes in, but you must wash your mind with the Word of God and send it right back out. That being said, if you have a doubt in your mind, don't be concerned that you've lost what you're believing for. It's just a quick moment of doubt, but you refresh yourself on what you're believing for and what you're standing on, and you wash yourself clean by reading the Word of God and hearing the Word of God. It tells us that faith comes by hearing and by hearing the Word of God. And when you do that, that doubt will leave. That doesn't mean you've lost what you're believing for. Now, when we're talking about this, I want to go ahead and read you some scriptures, and we're going to jump right into this on what the prayer of agreement is. Let's go to Matthew 18, verses 18 through 20. I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. Verse 20, for where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. In this scripture, it gives us a couple different things. The first thing, it talks about binding, binding in heaven and binding on earth. It also talks about how you have the ability to go before the Father, and anything you ask in the name of the Son, in the name of Jesus, he will not deny you. He will give you. In other words, meaning that when you pray, you need to believe that you've received. If you don't receive, it's because either your prayer doesn't line up with the will of God, you're praying something false, okay, or you're not believing that God is capable of already providing it for you. That's not something he has to provide in the future. That's something he's already done. You may not receive it until the future, but the moment you pray, you believe that he's already provided it for you. When Jesus died on the cross for you 2,000 years ago, that is when it was provided for you. You just have to call it into the now. I'm going to say that again. When Jesus died on the cross for you 2,000 years ago, at that moment, that's where every prayer you'll ever need to pray has been answered. All you need to do is call it into the now. In other words, you need to call it out of the past, and you need to call it in to the present. You need to call it into the now by faith. Now, that being said, when we talk about that, one of the things that we go over is that the other responsibility, it said, other than binding, is also said that where two or more of you gather in my name, I shall be in your midst. You know, one of the things we talked about before were the names of God. And one of the names of God I talked about was Jehovah Shammah. I am the Lord who's there. When I'm doing the prayer of agreement with someone, I almost always turn around and exalt God as Jehovah Shammah, that he's the God who's there over that situation. I am bringing him into remembrance over his word, and then I declare this word that you said, Father, wherever two or more of us gather in your name, there you shall be in the midst. Now, one thing to know, it tells us in the word that you've been given the power to bind in heaven and bind on earth. But I will tell you this, that if you read that scripture carefully, nowhere does it say that God will do the binding. The binding is your responsibility. He has given you the spiritual authority to bind things in heaven and to bind things on earth. But if the devil is running rampant within your life, if the enemy is attacking you rampantly within your life, and you're waiting for God to come down and bind them for you, you're going to be waiting for a while. Not because God's not capable of it, but because that's not God's role, that's your role. He has given you the ability, the authority of the believer to bind things in heaven and to bind things on earth. Now, some people might say, but I'm scared of the devil, or what about the devil? There's no reason to be. I'm going to give you a couple quick scriptures to reinforce what I'm telling you. The first one I want you to turn to is James 4:7. James 4:7 says that therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Some people say, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he shall flee. Luke 10:19 says, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing, saying nothing, shall by any means hurt you. When he talks about giving us the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, those also have spiritual references to the enemy or demonic forces. He's given us authority to trample on them. And it tells us that he's given us power over all the enemy. So, and over all the power of the enemy, meaning that, yeah, the enemy has power, but you've been given more. And your power that you've been given is God's power. And the way you leverage it is with the name of Jesus, and you leverage it over that. If I were teaching on the armor of God, which we've actually taught about before, one of the armor things in the armor of God is you have several things of protection, but you have one weapon, and your one weapon is a sword. The sword is the word of God, and that's what that's talking about right there. You've been given power and authority over the power of the enemy, and you've been given authority to trample on scorpions and on serpents. Let's go ahead and keep reading. What I want to read to you next are a couple of scriptures that reinforce the power of agreement. The first one is James 5:14 through 15. If anyone among you sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and their prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Now, in yesterday's teaching on the prayer of petition or prayer of faith, I was talking about how you have the ability to pray that on your own by finding a scripture in the Word that promises your healing and stand in agreement on that with the Lord that you have received your healing. This is a reinforcing prayer. There are four different ways for a person to receive a healing, and although we're not going to go over all of them, the first and main one is by standing on a promise of God, which is what we talked to you yesterday with the prayer petition. The second way is by going to the elders of your church or the pastor of your church and asking them to lay hands on you. And when you turn around and do that, and actually, I'm sorry, I take that back. That's actually the third way. I'll give you all four. So the first way is by standing on scripture and standing on God's promises with a prayer petition that you've received your healing. The second way is going before friends or family members and asking them to stand in agreement with you on those scriptures, which is what we're talking about today, which is a prayer of agreement. A third way is by going to the elders of your church or the pastor of your church and asking them to lay hands on you, which is also a part of the prayer of agreement. And then in addition to that, your fourth way is when you have someone who operates in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and they operate in the gifts of healing, and if God prompts them to, that they pray over you and release the healing into you. And they don't even have to be in the same city with you or same state. It can be long distance because there's no distance within the spiritual realm within God's kingdom. Now, that being said, this scripture right here reinforces that you can either pray the prayer petition for your own healing, or if you're struggling in the area of faith and you waver at times, then you need to find someone to stand in agreement with you, whether it be a friend or family member or the elders of your church. But these have to be people that remember before you pray, you've already come into agreement, full agreement of what the outcome of that prayer is going to be. Now, the next one I want to read to you is Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 10. Let's read. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Let's skip down to verse 12. Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Some translations talk about it's not easily broken. So here's how you pray a prayer of agreement. The first thing to remember is a prayer of agreement is the same thing as a prayer of faith. You're finding a promise in God's word that you're standing on, and you're turning around, and with the prayer of agreement, you're coming into full agreement for what the outcome is going to be. The one thing I want to caution you on or remind you of is you're not to magnify the problem. Don't tell God about how big your mountain is. Tell your mountain how big your God is. When you pray the prayer of agreement, you are not to talk about the problem or to pray about the problem. You are to pray about the answer. A very quick example of that would be, let's say you're in great financial distress. And great can be different for different people, okay? But let's say you're in great financial distress. Let's say, for example, you fall behind on your home payment, and let's say you're 4 or 5 months behind on it, and you need, let's just say, $6,000 quick. You don't turn around and pray about the problem, about what's going on and that you're getting ready to get foreclosed on or kicked out of your house. You pray about the answer. You turn around and you find a scripture that supports what you're believing for and that you supports what God said he would do for you. And then you take the prayer to him and you pray it and you turn around and are very specific. I've heard Terry Savelle Foy say many times that vague goals produce vague results. I will tell you in leadership, I repeat that often, but I say vague plans produce vague results. Vague communication produces vague results, okay? A vague prayer will produce a vague result. You need to be specific about what you're believing for. You need to turn around and say that if it's $6,000 you need for to get you caught up, then you need to pray for that. But be mindful. You're going to have a payment coming up the following month. So don't just pray for what you need at that moment. Think about ahead of time. But here's what you say. But you need to pray based on what your faith can believe for. And your faith will grow at different times, so you'll be able to believe for larger things. But that's why the prayer of agreement is beneficial. Because whoever you're praying with, if they're built up and you need to ask the Lord who to ask for prayer of agreement, because if you find someone who's very built up in healing but they're not built up in finances, then they can help you with the prayer of agreement, but it may not be as powerful as someone who's very built up in that area. So let the Lord lead you. You know, I heard Keith Moore, my spiritual father in the faith, say one time, what's the answer to 1,000 questions? Be led. The answer to 1,000 questions is be led by the Holy Spirit. So you turn around, you go get someone, you get an agreement, you specifically say ahead of time what you're believing for and the desired outcome, and then as you do that, you turn around and present the word back to God and his promise, and you're very specific about what you're praying for. And the moment you're done, you believe, you rejoice, and you thank God, and you continually stay in thanks until it's manifested within the natural. Guys, I hope you found today's teaching encouraging. As always, we want to remind you to swing by our website at neilreyes.com or swing by our social media and connect with us on our YouTube channel, on our Facebook page, or on Twitter. If these teachings are feeding you, all I ask is that you turn around and share them with others. Why? Not to magnify me, but let's get this word to others so we can start to help them out. Guys, I want to thank you for turning around and stopping by today. As always, we want to remind you that Jesus is Lord and he loves you, and so do we. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Power off.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
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 Amen.
Any questions, comments? Concerning that. Everyone,
yes,
have
the scriptures, the
addresses?
That's what I'm getting ready to ask. I want to make sure I have all Matthew 18, 12 to 20, James 4, 7, and it was one after that I didn't hear.
Okay,
it said 19
I thought the
or something.
The first one was Matthew 18 to 20.
18 to 20.
Oh, 18 to 20. Okay.
And then James
and then
4,
James.
7.
Uh-huh.
And then Luke 10:19.
Luke, okay. 10:19.
Uh-huh. 10:19.
Okay.
And then James 5:14.
Oh, 5:14. Okay.
Uh-huh. Then Ecclesiastes 4:9. And he also read the Crawford.
Okay, he said 4:9 to 10. But you said he read to the 12th?
Yeah, he read the 12th verse.
Okay, so Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
Thank you.
I'm going to hear it again because I'm going to play it again so that we can really get it down. And you heard some things. And just to piggyback on him, and then you all can make some comments.
Right.
We sometimes focus on the problem. And he said, focus on the problem, focus on the solution.
The solution.
And, if you heard this morning's praise and worship, I prayed for thousands and hundreds of thousands of children to cry out, what must I do to be saved? To cry out praising the Lord. That's the plan. Not focusing on a lot of the children are being attacked. We know that.
Right.
We're not news reporters. We know that. Our focus is on the solution, not
solution.
The problem. That's why you hear
that so
often. Don't describe what the devil is doing. Describe what God has done, is doing, or is going to do, or what. I need to really add what you want him to do. And that's important because, see, when you focus on the problem, you're actually celebrating the work of the enemy, and the devil is a liar, and we don't celebrate him.
Amen. That's right.
And this moves to another level. Some new Christians don't understand that. But as Christians that are going towards spiritual maturity, you understand you don't focus on the problem. You don't tell God how big your problem is. You tell your problem how big God is.
How big your God is.
Amen. On the solution. Focusing on the solution. You say, God, I need $5 million to get everything I want to do with this church into place. $5 million, and you focus on that. You get a scripture. But my God shall supply all that need according to his glory. You find a scripture which coincides with what you're looking for. Not looking back at what the devil is doing, looking forward to what God is going to do, what you want him to do in the situation.
Amen.
Any more comments or questions? This is
yes. Deacon AJ.
Yes.
Deacon AJ. When he did, when he was talking about in James 5, 14:7, when he gave four things. Okay, the first one he gave was stand on, what was it?
Yeah, stand on.
He gave four things.
And what was that? That was number one. Number two was?
What was number one? What was number one?
Find the scripture. And you find yourself.
Oh, scripture.
You find the scripture and stand on that scripture. Keep on, say that scripture 50 times. Say that scripture.
Okay.
Find the scripture. You're in your secret closet, so to speak. You by yourself.
Okay.
Number two, it's prayer of agreement. You find somebody else that you could be that can agree with you, and
right.
You don't find somebody that's Dalton Thomas.
I got the rest. I just need to know what number one is. So basically, when we talked about the prayer of faith, like as this one. So basically, James, this is one, and then the other ones, if it's two or more, correct?
Prayer of agreement, he said, make sure you have two or more.
Prayer of agreement. Now, he was just describing, when he went into talking about healing, he said, you find a scripture.
Oh, healing.
Scripture.
Okay.
That comes in line with that. And
healing.
That's the prayer of a petition or prayer of faith. And you,
okay.
And you by yourself. You're in your closet, and you pray, you hold on to scripture. Now, the prayer of agreement comes in when you it's the same thing as that prayer of petition or faith, but you got somebody with you. You know, you find somebody that you can keep up, what they used to call a workout partner, a prayer partner, and you pray together, two or three. And then the third one is have the go to the elders of the church that was it, James, and the prayer of faith, save the sick, heal the sick. And then the fourth one, you find a holy, you find someone who has the gift of healing.
Right.
They come by and they lay their holy hands on you. The four things that we're referring to, healing. But I'm gonna play this again, so that all of you can really can just kind of saturate your spirit, okay? And you'll maybe be able to understand it a little bit more, okay?
All right, very good.
Any more questions? Hallelujah, praise God. Hallelujah. All right, I think we're gonna. Let's see if we got it going on again.
Power on. Bluetooth pairing. Bluetooth connected.
And next week, we're going over different types of prayer, and today we're covering the prayer of agreement. In yesterday's teaching, we covered the prayer of petition, or what is sometimes referred to as the prayer of faith, and today we're covering the prayer of agreement. So let's just jump right in and see what it is. The first question we have is, what is a prayer of agreement? A prayer of agreement is often touted within churches where they'll say that, you know, when two or more of you stand in agreement with each other, something shall be done for you or you shall receive it. But how do we do that, and how do we back that up in Scripture, and what exactly does that look like? Well, I'm going to tell you that if you didn't watch yesterday's teaching, I encourage you either after this teaching or now, go back and watch it and then come back to this one. But you do need to watch it. And the reason why, a prayer of agreement is the same exact thing as a prayer of faith. The only difference is that when you're saying a prayer of faith, it's only one person who's praying it. When you say a prayer of agreement, you have two or more people standing in agreement on a prayer of faith. So a prayer of agreement is the same exact thing as a prayer of faith. It's just that two or more people are standing in agreement on it. That being said, there's a couple things you need to know. The first one is that when you're praying a prayer of agreement, before you go to pray it, everyone who's praying must be in complete agreement. I will also tell you that this is not united prayer or corporate prayer. We'll be covering that next week. But this is a prayer usually among two to three people. Now, yes, it can be more than that, but usually you limit it to two to three people. And then I'll explain reasons on united prayer or corporate prayer why that is. But typically we want to limit this to just a couple people. Now, when you pray a prayer of agreement, what you're basically doing is a prayer of faith is where you find a promise within God's word that you stand upon that directly speaks or can be applied to your specific situation. And when you do that, you turn around and you get two or more people to stand in agreement with you. But you must be in agreement beforehand, not focusing on the problem, but focusing on the answer and the desired outcome. And then once you make that prayer of faith or prayer of agreement made before the Lord, when you present your petition before the Lord, those two or more people stay standing in agreement until it has manifested or come to pass, until the answer has manifested or come to pass. The reason why it's important with two or more people is sometimes you might have one person feeling a little down or maybe feeling a little beat up, And that's where your prayer partner comes in to help and encourage you. If you are doing a prayer of agreement with someone and you begin to doubt, now not doubt in your heart, but doubt in your head about whether it's going to happen or it'll be answered, you are to reach out directly to your prayer partner immediately for encouragement. When you reach out to them, it's very important that you don't elaborate on why you're down or don't elaborate on the doubt that's circling within your mind, because you don't want to negatively impact them, and then you both start lining up an agreement on doubt that you don't want to do. What you're simply doing is, as accountability, you're contacting the other person who's praying with you or people, and you simply say, guys, I'm struggling today. I need you to boost me up. I need you to lift me up. Let's do some prayer on this. And let them go ahead and minister to you. And as they minister to you, you'll find that you'll bounce back quickly. Whatever doubt was trying to impede you or trying to jump in your mind is now gone, and you're back on track. Now, also keep in mind that there's a difference between doubting in our minds and doubting in our hearts. There are times that you're going to have thoughts that come in your mind where you may doubt the outcome or doubt whether you're going to receive what you prayed about. But to doubt in your mind is not the same thing as to doubt in your heart. To doubt in your heart means you doubt that the Lord is capable of providing that for you, and that's when you lose the blessing or what you're believing for. To doubt in your mind, you have to deal with it. It's okay if doubt comes in, but you must wash your mind with the Word of God and send it right back out. That being said, if you have a doubt in your mind, don't be concerned that you've lost what you're believing for. It's just a quick moment of doubt, but you refresh yourself on what you're believing for and what you're standing on, and you wash yourself clean by reading the Word of God and hearing the Word of God. It tells us that faith comes by hearing and by hearing the Word of God. And when you do that, that doubt will leave. That doesn't mean you've lost what you're believing for. Now, when we're talking about this, I want to go ahead and read you some scriptures, and we're going to jump right into this on what the prayer of agreement is. Let's go to Matthew 18, verses 18 through 20. I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. Verse 20, for where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. In this scripture, it gives us a couple different things. The first thing, it talks about binding, binding in heaven and binding on earth. It also talks about how you have the ability to go before the Father, and anything you ask in the name of the Son, in the name of Jesus, he will not deny you. He will give you. In other words, meaning that when you pray, you need to believe that you've received. If you don't receive, it's because either your prayer doesn't line up with the will of God, you're praying something false, okay, or you're not believing that God is capable of already providing it for you. That's not something he has to provide in the future. It's something he's already done. You may not receive it until the future, but the moment you pray, you believe that he's already provided it for you. When Jesus died on the cross for you 2,000 years ago, that is when it was provided for you. You just have to call it into the now. I'm going to say that again. When Jesus died on the cross for you 2,000 years ago, at that moment, that's where every prayer you'll ever need to pray has been answered. All you need to do is call it into the now. In other words, you need to call it out of the past, and you need to call it in to the present. You need to call it into the now by faith. Now, that being said, when we talk about that, one of the things that we go over is that the other responsibility it said, other than binding, is also said that where two or more of you gather in my name, I shall be in your midst. You know, one of the things we talked about before were the names of God. And one of the names of God I talked about was Jehovah Shema. I am the Lord who's there. When I'm doing the prayer of agreement with someone, I almost always turn around and exalt God as Jehovah Shema, that he's the God who's there over that situation. I am bringing him into remembrance over his word. And then I declare this word that you said, Father, wherever two or more of us gather in your name, there you shall be in the midst. Now, one thing to know. It tells us in the Word that you've been given the power to bind in heaven and bind on earth. But I will tell you this, if you read that scripture carefully, nowhere does it say that God will do the binding. The binding is your responsibility. He has given you the spiritual authority to bind things in heaven and to bind things on earth. But if the devil is running rampant within your life, if the enemy is attacking you rampantly within your life, and you're waiting for God to come down and bind them for you, you're going to be waiting for a while. not because God's not capable of it, but because that's not God's role, that's your role. He has given you the ability, the authority of the believer to bind things in heaven and to bind things on earth. Now, some people might say, but I'm scared of the devil, or what about the devil? There's no reason to be. I'm going to give you a couple quick scriptures to reinforce what I'm telling you. The first one I want you to turn to is James 4:7. James 4:7 says that, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Some people say, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he shall flee. Luke 10:19 says, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing, say nothing, shall by any means hurt you. When he talks about giving us the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, those also have spiritual references to the enemy or demonic forces. He's given us authority to trample on them. And it tells us that he's given us power over all the enemy. So, and over all the power of the enemy, meaning that, yeah, the enemy has power, but you've been given more. And your power that you've been given is God's power. And the way you leverage it is with the name of Jesus, and you leverage it over that. If I were teaching on the armor of God, which we've actually taught about before, one of the armor things in the armor of God is you have several things of protection, but you have one weapon, and your one weapon is a sword. The sword is the word of God, and that's what that's talking about right there. You've been given power and authority over the power of the enemy, and you've been given authority to trample on scorpions and on serpents. Let's go ahead and keep reading. What I want to read to you next are a couple of scriptures that reinforce the power of agreement. The first one is James 5:14 through 15. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and their prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Now, in yesterday's teaching on the prayer of petition or prayer of the faith, I was talking about how you have the ability to pray that on your own by finding a scripture in the Word that promises your healing and stand in agreement on that with the Lord that you have received your healing. This is a reinforcing prayer. There are four different ways for a person to receive a healing, and although we're not going to go over all of them, the first and main one is by standing on a promise of God, which is what we taught you yesterday with the prayer of petition. The second way is by going to the elders of your church or the pastor of your church and asking them to lay hands on you. And when you turn around and do that, and actually, I'm sorry, I take that back. That's actually the third way. I'll give you all four. So the first way is by standing on scripture and standing on God's promises with a prayer petition that you've received your healing. The second way is going before friends or family members and asking them to stand in agreement with you on those scriptures, which is what we're talking about today, which is the prayer of agreement. A third way is by going to the elders of your church or the pastor of your church and asking them to lay hands on you, which is also a part of the prayer of agreement. And then in addition to that, your fourth way is when you have someone who operates in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and they operate in the gifts of healing, and if God prompts them to you, that they pray over you and release the healing into you. And they don't even have to be in the same city with you or same state. It can be long distance because there's no distance within the spiritual realm within God's kingdom. Now, that being said, this scripture right here reinforces that you can either pray the prayer petition for your own healing, or if you're struggling in the area of faith and you waver at times, then you need to find someone to stand in agreement with you, whether it be a friend or family member or the elders of your church. But these have to be people that remember before you pray, you've already come into agreement, full agreement of what the outcome of that prayer is going to be. Now, the next one I want to read to you is Ecclesiastes 4:9 through 10. Let's read. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Let's skip down to verse 12. Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Some translations talk about it's not easily broken. So here's how you pray a prayer of agreement. The first thing to remember is a prayer of agreement is the same thing as a prayer of faith. You're finding a promise in God's word that you're standing on, and you're turning around, and with a prayer of agreement, you're coming into full agreement for what the outcome is going to be. The one thing I want to caution you on or remind you of is you're not to magnify the problem. Don't tell God about how big your mountain is. Tell your mountain how big your God is. When you pray the prayer of agreement, you are not to talk about the problem or to pray about the problem. You are to pray about the answer. A very quick example of that would be, let's say you're in great financial distress. And great can be different for different people, okay? But let's say you're in great financial distress. Let's say, for example, you fall behind on your home payment, and let's say you're 4 or 5 months behind on it, and you need, let's just say, $6,000 quick. You don't turn around and pray about the problem, about what's going on and that you're getting ready to get foreclosed on or kicked out of your house. You pray about the answer. You turn around and you find a scripture that supports what you're believing for and that you supports what God said he would do for you, and then you take the prayer to him and you pray it and you turn around and are very specific. I've heard Terry Savelle Foy say many times that vague goals produce vague results. I will tell you in leadership, I repeat that often, but I say vague plans produce vague results. Vague communication produces vague results, okay? A vague prayer will produce a vague result. You need to be specific about what you're believing for. You need to turn around and say that if it's $6,000 you need for to get you caught up, then you need to pray for that. But be mindful. You're going to have a payment coming up the following month. So don't just pray for what you need at that moment. Think about ahead of time. But here's what you say. But you need to pray based on what your faith can believe for. And your faith will grow at different times, so you'll be able to believe for larger things. But that's why the prayer of agreement is beneficial. Because whoever you're praying with, if they're built up, and you need to ask the Lord who to go to prayer, to ask for prayer of agreement. Because if you find someone who's very built up in healing, but they're not built up in finances, then they can help you with the prayer of agreement, but it may not be as powerful as someone who's very built up in that area. So let the Lord lead you. You know, I heard Keith Moore, my spiritual father in the faith, say one time, "What's the answer to 1,000 questions? Be led." The answer to 1,000 questions is be led by the Holy Spirit. So you turn around, you go get someone, you get an agreement, you specifically say ahead of time what you're believing for and the desired outcome, and then as you do that, you turn around and present the word back to God and his promise, and you're very specific about what you're praying for. And the moment you're done, you believe, you rejoice, and you thank God, and you continually stay in thanks until it's manifested within the natural. Guys, I hope you found something encouraging. As always, we want to remind you to swing by our website at neilreyes.com or swing by our social media and connect with us on our YouTube channel, on our Facebook page, or on Twitter. If these teachings are feeding you, all I ask is that you turn around and share them with others. Why? Not to magnify me, but let's get this word to others so we can start to help them out. Guys, I want to thank you for turning around and stopping by today. As always, we want to remind you that Jesus is Lord and he loves you, and so do we. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Power on.
Hallelujah.
I have a comment.
Go ahead.
I think it's very important that I know he said to, and I don't think it's okay. I'll start with like this: everybody in the church is not at the same faith level, and
that's right.
Therefore, I think that's why it's very important to ask God to show you who you can go to ask.
Amen.
To stand with you, because just because everybody's in the church does not mean that everybody is going to even stand with you or is able to stand with you in prayer in agreement for what you are believing for. Because
Amen. They
may be at one level of faith, and they may think, that sounds far-fetched, sister. You think God can do that? And you don't want to go to somebody that's going to say, you think God can do that for you? Really? No, you want to think, you really want to air so happy and excited about something that you just busting. You just want to share your blessing with somebody. You just want to tell somebody what God has blessed you with. And you go to somebody and they almost shoot you down with, you know, they aren't as excited as you are about something. And they may even get jealous. That's why it's good even to ask God who to show you who you can even share a blessing with. And so therefore,
right.
In this
That's
case,
right.
You need to ask him, Lord, who can I go to ask them to stand with me in this? Because you don't want to go to somebody and they are weak in the area and they kind of waver in their faith when they have a problem situation themselves. So that's why it is important to pray and ask God, Lord, who can I go to stand with me? Somebody that's as strong is not going to faint before it becomes into fruition, and somebody that I don't have to keep pumping up and this and that, and somebody that can even encourage me if I get a little, you know, if I need some encouragement.
Mm-hmm. That's so true,
what you're saying, and that was so good. Matthew 7 says, "You know them by their fruit." And if you've had any kind of relationship with folks in your church or in your family, you know, in your spirit, you know who to tell certain things to and who to ask to ask to pray with you, to touch and agree with you. You don't go to a babe in Christ and ask them to touch and agree, because they might even not, they don't even know what you're talking about. You need to go to a seasoned saint, someone who's grown up spiritually, has spiritual wisdom. And I put it this way, even Jesus put people out. He went into to the room where the damsel had died, and he put people out. He said, you don't even want nobody out. You don't go to nobody that they already done doubted a whole bunch of stuff. You done seen their baby actions. You had to change their diapers 2 or 3 times. You ain't going to go to them and ask them to touch and agree with you. You go to somebody else. Their fruit shows that they are spiritually mature, you know, and they walk with the Lord in those kinds of things and be able to touch and agree with you. So you kind of know, but if there's a question mark, of course, like you said, I thought that was very good. You ask God, who can I talk to?
Exactly. Let me be more hard than good. And just to piggyback on what you said, Pastor, you don't want somebody with pablum on their lips. You want somebody to eat steak.
Amen.
You know, exactly what you're doing. But in the natural, I was thinking back in the day when there were crazy people, I mean, there were people who would co-sign for you. You go to a person that has a good credit score if they're going to co-sign with you, because that will have an effect on how much interest or how high that interest is going to be on what you're going to do with their co-signing for, too. Because they look at that, your credit score. So you want somebody that's got a high credit score if they're going to partner with you so you get your best price. Like if you're going to co-sign for a car or something like that or whatever you need, then that's what you do. That's why you have to observe and know that who you're dealing with, because you want them to help you, not to hurt you.
That's right. And as Neil was saying, you don't want nobody that doubting, you know, and you don't even tell them that you had a little doubt in your mind. You don't even tell them that. You just tell them that you need somebody to
keep
praying.
Staying with me. Staying with me.
You'll be like, look, you'll be like the guy on the bridge. He stopped. This guy was getting ready to jump off. He stopped his car, went over side to talk to the guy. He talked to the guy and said, look here, why are certain things going on? And the guy told him, after the guy told him everything, both of them jumped off the bridge, you know. It's important to focus on the solution.
Thank you.
I like what he said about being specific. Beg prayers,
yeah.
Big answers.
Be specific.
Right. That's right.
Like you had said to us.
Specify. specificity. What is it? Specificity. You got to specify what you want. Yeah, Lord, I didn't get a car, Lord, and I say that. You didn't get a car, and then all of a sudden the car show up in front of your door. Four flat tires, no engine, but it's a car. You got to specify.
That's exactly what you want.
Hallelujah, glory to God. Hallelujah.
That's true.
Any more comments, any questions about what you heard?
Things like Christians are so scared to think big or act big, but you got to know your God that He is big, and it's not that you're being greedy, but you're needy, and you want Him to come. Which come in the best way. So these are tools in how to get the best answer and the specific answer that you need. So, you know, use these rules to further the cause that you have. Because God wants the best for us, but you got to come the right way.
Amen. And here's the thing. I hope you saw this. He said, the doubt in your head, it comes. You use the word of God to chase that out. You watch your mind with the word of God. Doubt in your heart means you don't believe that God can do it.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to figure out if somebody don't believe that God can do it, you don't want to talk to them anyway.
Not today. Talk to them tomorrow.
God, and I love it when we talk about bring it into now. Everything that you need was, Jesus said, it was finished. And he underscored that by, you know, being raised from the dead. He completed the whole task. Everything, the victory that you needed in your life was culminated in what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. But you got to bring it to the now.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it says now faith, Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the now faith. Bring it to the now. And we think we're doing, and we just have to grow up with this. We think we're doing right when we talk about what happened and these children got killed and all this. And I'm not being insensitive. But we need to turn that around. Lord, I thank God that you are having children who know you, who love you, and turn themselves over to you. Because the worst thing that the devil can do to a child of God is put them in the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to be asking for the body to be present with the Lord. Glory to God. Saving children's life is important, as far as their physical life. But more important is their spiritual life.
That's right. Amen.
Hundreds of thousands of children singing glory to the Lord, glory to God, and on earth peace, goodwill to all men. You know, the songs of Zion, the singing together. Yeah. Having, you know, like the Mormon Tabernacle Choir seems like there's a million of them. But hey, glory to God. Have a children choir, 1,000 children singing hallelujah to the Lamb. That I want to see that. You understand what I'm saying? Focus on the positive. I know it's hard because if it bleeds, it leads. I understand. And we might want to do that, but we're not reporters. We're supporters of the reconciliation of people to God. As the Bible say in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. We want to get children, adult, seniors, and everybody in between to accept Christ as their personal Savior. So we speak that. We speak that. We focus on the positive.
Yes.
on God. And
yes,
that shows who we are and whose we are and the fact that we're growing spiritually when we are able to pray, focus on the solution.
Amen.
That's the problem.
Amen. Yes. You know what? I think we all learn from somebody. We all, and I think a lot of times we, and a lot of things we do, we are duplicating. We, a child will duplicate what they see their parents do. And a lot of times in the church, when we are in the church and you and I have been in, we grew up in, and I believe the saint, the people that came up under the older saints there, they, I believe they only duplicated what how they heard the old mothers testify. That's why it's so great to be, it's a good thing to be, to search the word of God for yourself. And because a long time ago, the older mothers, I think they testified, called themselves testifying to, about the problems.
Yes,
and put more emphasis on the problems than God. And so many times, Pastor, you'll say, don't spend more time on the problem than God. Because they may have stood up in service and gave you a whole spiel of everything they was going through and all, and then say, but I thank God for being saved, and then sit down. But they gave more glory to the enemy and to the problem versus the Lord, who has the answer and who answered the problem. And so, therefore, now I think a lot of us are being, our minds are being renewed to the word as to, yes, you may mention what the enemy has done, but we're going on and on and on and on and on and on, on, but because of what we know God is, what we believe in God for, and and thank God I'm standing on this scripture, and I'm believing God. For the fruition of this, and I'm going to let y'all know when God when it comes to, because I know what God can do, and we're going on and on now about that answer, and because of the God, our mind has been expanded and has been renewed through the Word of God about the God that we are serving and what we know God can do.
You know,
now,
Amen.
But a long time ago it wasn't. But now, thank God, it is. And more the word of God is being poured in us. And now we're under a pastor that is emphasizing knowing the scripture, knowing the addresses, knowing how to pray the answer, not putting so much emphasis on the problem, but telling our problem who our God is. I think that's the difference in how we came up.
Yeah, you know, thank you, Pastor Peaches. You know, several years ago, I went looking for clean jokes. And one joke was that the devil was sitting on the church steps, and he was crying. And they said, well, why are you crying? Because they're blaming everything on me. They're doing a litany of stuff, and everything on me. They've been praising me. Yeah, I didn't do that. You know, and a lot of times we need to kind of stop celebrating what the devil does, because that's what we're doing when we go down a of stuff. I remember I was on a mobility vehicle. Guy gets on the vehicle before he even sit down. He's complaining that the vehicle was late. And that he had 10 operations. He had operations this day. I started talking and I started singing because I didn't want to hear the litany of all these 10 operations he done had. I promise I counted them. I might have had more than them. But I ain't focusing on the negative. I want to focus on the
positive.
Hallelujah.
But the Lord done brought me through. The operable word is through. Hallelujah. I'm in this dark. You can say that all you want to. But I see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And he done brought me through. Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's what you got to do. And stuff happens. again, it's not being insensitive. It's just understanding what the Word of God said. The Word of God said stuff is going to happen in the last day, and it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get all everything all twisted and everything. We think the world is just, the world is coming to an end. Now, the Lord is soon to come back. He said these things would happen. So why are you
Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah,
I want to be able to be the ambassador for Christ and to reconcile people to the Lord, children and adults and everybody in between. That's what I want to do. I don't want to focus on, oh Lord, they breaking down, they robbing people, breaking in the houses, stealing cars, and all this, oh, they just, oh, yeah, somebody pray. I don't know if I want to pray with you, because you sound like one of those mourners, well, the mourners, but you sound like one of the mourners at a funeral. I'm thinking about the hallelujah, God cracking the sky. I'm thinking about that great getting up morning, hallelujah. I'm thinking about people throwing up holy hands, surrendering to God. That's what I want to see that. I want to hear that. I want to hear these children singing. I love to hear the children singing together. Their voices are so melodic that they're singing the praises of the Lord.
Anointed.
What I want to hear.
Amen. Pastor, I like to piggyback on what was saying. Sister Peaches, you are so true. Us who have been in church all our lives, listening to the older folk testify and say the things they did. So we really, I know I had to go to God and ask him to detox those things from my mind. Because what I was brought up on, and I thought it was right until I heard different and I believed different. And now that we are empowered with tools of learning that will boomerang us into our destiny in a higher level with the Lord, where he can use us and we can learn and where we can use the Word of God effectively.
Yes.
Using the Word of God, it is so absolutely necessary. But you do have to detox your mind of those things that were said, because you heard it 11 times since you were a kid. And now that we're adults and you're making a choice, I've actually sat down and said, Lord, what's the devil? What's you? What's me? Because I didn't know which way to turn. I didn't know what was going on. It was so confusing. And I was in the right place for Satan, because he loves confusion. So until I felt, you know, comfortable in my spirit, and he baby walked me out of where I was, and nothing but the Lord of God, because he was answering my prayer, he would let me hear words that will get me to the next level and make me feel comfortable, go, oh, there is another way, and I won't go to hell. But even though Sister Mary said X, Y, Z, I have to put that aside. Love, care for what she got me to, but now I have to go on with strength and empowerment to a higher, higher.
Hallelujah.
Right.
And that's what God wants. And the prayer of agreement is so powerful.
Yes.
The prayer of agreement is so powerful. It, when you find two people that have their heart, they believe that God can do it, and they pray in that prayer of agreement, it's nothing that God
can do. Exactly. That's right. Get
amen.
That
amen.
Somebody
praise the Lord.
If you have a Bible, you can go to Matthew chapter 19, verse 18. When you get there, say amen.
Matthew 19:18.
I think that's the scripture that I'm looking for. Because we're going to say almost the same thing that
He said Matthew 19 and 18 verse.
Yes.
He said, he said unto them,
which olive then sent Jesus to disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway.
Okay, that's not it. There's another scripture that talks about what you bind on earth is bound in heaven, and what you loose on. I thought it was 18:19. What does 19 say? 19:19 say.
19:18.
Okay.
But you said 18:19?
No. Go to 19.
Oh. No, 18:19 says, again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on
right,
earth.
I'm thinking there's a scripture in 19, chapter 19, talks about you can say to the mountain, be removed.
Isn't it Mark 11:24? It says to speak to the mountain.
I don't know. You know, that might be it. That might be it. That's all right. I just and after it said that you can speak to the mountain, it says, what you bind on earth is bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth is loose in heaven. But the bottom line is that that's the authority that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have. And that's more authority than even the devil has.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear sometimes people saying that the devil doesn't have any power. He has power, but we got more power than he has.
Amen. Amen.
Luke 10:19. It says that tread on serpents and scorpions, none of the power of the devil. What's that scripture that he gave? Luke 10:19. Okay, read that.
Okay, let me go to 10:19.
Luke 10:19. That's, we have, basically, the tread on serpents and scorpions, and nothing by any means to hurt us. We have more power than the enemy. You get two people you get three people together, no doubt. Glory to God. And you, the prayer, a petition, a prayer of faith, which
it says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.
So that scripture, that says, over all the power of the enemy. The enemy does have power, but he ain't got more power.
Yeah. Amen. Pastor Warren used to say that the saint of God had more power in their pinky than the devil has.
That's right.
Oh, my God.
You know that's true. So the prayer of faith or petition and of course the prayer of agreement that we dealt with today, that's the same prayer, but it's with two or three. Man, one it takes 1,000, 2, 10,000, I believe 3, maybe 100,000. I don't know.
Hallelujah.
The threefold cord is not easily
not
broken.
Not easily broken. That's right.
This is powerful. Now we finish with all the prayers. Y'all gonna need to know them for yourself. Know the prayer of a petition. Or faith, and two names, the prayer of faith or prayer of petition. That's what that was last Tuesday. Then the prayer of agreement is the exact same thing as the prayer of petition or the prayer of faith, but it's with two or more people.
Exactly. The pastor, I was just thinking, to show growth in the Lord, we have got to pick up our authority and use it on a regular basis where we have not done it before. We would maybe touch and run, but we have to actually live in that authority that has been given to us to show the growth that God has given us so we can be more victorious in the situations, circumstances, and lives of ourselves, our children, and the people that we come in contact with. Because we have to be strong and not be a flicker, but be a flame. And you want to see God's hand move. And that only happens through his people who are empowered. And if you're not empowered, you cannot do any of that. Not taking your authority.
And see, the greatest thing that we can do is pray. And if you get these nine types of prayer, you get them in your spirit. The next teachings we're going to do is the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. We'll go through that again. Because we want that evident in the church as well.
Yes.
And
yes.
After all of this, see, signs, wonders, miracles, and blessings are going to follow.
Ooh,
and
amen.
They follow if we do it God's way.
Automatic.
It's important to be on Bible study. Father, even in morning worship, even Wednesday and Sunday and wherever we can, the men's and women's fellowship. Well, I mean, God got some things that he wanted to do with us.
Because we're armed and extremely dangerous.
He's preparing
us.
God,
yes, amen.
Use people who are already prepared. He chooses people, and then he prepares them.
Yes, he puts you for the job. Amen.
And he's preparing us step by step, inch by inch. Anybody else on here that hasn't spoken, that has a question or comment?
AJ, where you at?
I'm here. I think God wants availability.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Song. I'm available to you. Something like that.
That's like it is. Uh-huh. That's a song. Uh-huh.
Because my will I give to you to do what you want to do. You
what
use me,
do?
Lord.
No, yes, that is. You say we too busy, Lord. I would do this or that, but I'm too busy. How do you like, you see, feed yourself the crop and grow. You go put out that, Lord, I'm too busy. And he can say, okay, I'm going to give that back to you. I'm going to multiply. I'm too busy.
You can't lead your mind to things.
And God's a loving God. He ain't going to say that too. But, you know, he could. He's dealing with millions of people at one time.
Yes.
Millions of people at one time. Hundreds of millions of people at one time. We too busy.
But you know, Pastor, listening to the tape makes you understand that God's got so much more for us.
Yes.
And it behooves us to drink deeply into this well of knowledge because it empowers us. In this hour in the earth, we are so needed to be just all we can be to win souls for Christ, you know. And just like we said this morning, like Sister Peter said, if we're infected, we can go and infect somebody else the right way.
By the
dust or the soot or the flakes or the crumbs that come off of us, we can be contagious to others on purpose. But you got to know who you is and act like it. Stop embarrassing God because he said, I've come to give you life and give it more abundantly. He's given us all things that we're sitting on the sidelines sucking our thumb. Get up. Get your sword. Go to work. Go to war. Grab your partner. Say, get on up. You ain't laying here because we're only as strong as our weakest link. This is war.
That's right. God don't want no coward soldiers.
I know that's right.
Oh, my God.
Praise the Lord.
It is so important for us to understand this thing. That's why I like Neil Reyes. And if y'all have any questions, y'all go to YouTube and put in Neil Reyes and listen to this stuff over and over again. Because he is so succinct. I mean, the little audios are like maybe 10 to 15 minutes long. And they really come, I mean, they really nail it. And I'm going to tell you, I've heard this teaching maybe about, oh my, maybe 4 or 5 times. Every time I hear it,
I hear something different.
I get something new out of it. It's just
yes. You get a new nugget. Just like reading the Word of God, you get a new nugget, a new understanding, you know?
Yes.
It's powerful. It's ammunition, I tell you.
Yes,
knowledge is power. And we only need speed of the leaders, the speed of the group, but we got to get on board, little children.
Is the one is the one from your, from last Tuesday on there?
Yes, it is.
Pastor?
Yes, it is. It's the prayer of petition or the prayer of faith. That's the first one, prayer of petition or the prayer of faith.
It's on YouTube?
It's on YouTube. Neil Reyes.
Neil who?
A-L.
Reyes.
N-A-L.
And the third last name?
Neil Reyes, E-A-L, is Reyes, R-E-Y-E-S.
R-A-Y-E-S. Okay, thank you.
R-E-Y-E-S.
R-A-Y-E-S. No.
R-E. E is an Earl.
Okay.
It's like Reyes.
Got it. I have it. Okay.
E sometimes is pronounced like an A, English A. It's Neil Reyes. And you can put types of prayer. Neil Reyes, types of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And all nine of them will come up.
Types of prayer. Okay.
Yeah. But that is so awesome what God
it is.
Does. I don't know. Did y'all want to hear it one more time, or y'all got everything you need?
I'm good.
All right.
I'm good.
All right. Hallelujah. Well, let's see. Just for memory, let's see if we can do.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Neil
Reyes. Neil Reyes, we do last week. Just so.
Power on. Bluetooth pairing. Bluetooth connected.
Get ready. Today's topic that we're going to be speaking about is called prayer of petition. Again, today's topic that we're speaking about is called prayer of petition. In yesterday's teaching, we started to talk about the different types of prayer, and we listed 9 types of prayer that we're going to be going over within the next 10 days. That'll be this week and next week. Today, we're going to be starting with what's referred to or known as the prayer of petition. I will also tell you that sometimes this is also referred to as the prayer of faith. This is a specific prayer that is shown to us in the Word that brings specific results. One of the things we talked about previously is that when people turn around and pray and they don't get the results that they're looking for, sometimes it's because they're not praying in the correct way. Now, yes, there are times, and it tells us specifically in God's Word, that when we pray, when it lines up according to God's will, He answers or hears our prayers. But I will tell you that other times, just because your prayers are not being answered in the manner in which you'd like, or with the response or quickness per se that maybe you'd hope for, that sometimes it's based on the fact that you're not praying correctly. Now, I'm not going to tell you that by praying this prayer, things are going to happen like that. The fact is we have another teaching we did back in the past, and what we talked about was that if it's worth praying for, it should also be worth waiting for. I'm going to say that again, because when the Lord told me that statement, I felt it was a profound statement that He needed His people to hear. When we pray for something, it should also be worth waiting for it. If it's worth praying for, it should also be worth waiting for. So today we're going to talk about the prayer petition. Now, We talked about previously that there are rules to prayer or how prayer operates and works. And we're going to be covering 9 specific prayer topics, but we're going to be starting with this one today, which is a prayer petition or prayer of faith. First question that's usually asked is, what is a prayer petition? Well, I'm going to tell you, and we're going to show you later specifically exactly how to do it, but this is a prayer where you find a promise in God's word that meets or speaks to your situation you're going through or the need or want that you have, and you turn around and you present it back to God. And there's a specific manner or rules, I should say, how you do it, but we're going to teach you exactly how that's done. Some key things to know about this type of prayer and all the prayers you do, but specifically this one especially. I shouldn't say specific, but especially this one. When we pray, we're to ask God once, and then we believe and thank him. This is not a, something that you pray over and over and over. This is something that you pray for once, and then you thank him, and you believe for it, and you thank him. And you thank him continually until what you have prayed for has manifested in the physical or in the natural. The other thing I want to tell you, and I heard this spoken by a gentleman who I consider to be a spiritual uncle in the faith. His name is Jerry Savelle, and I heard him teach on this years ago. In fact, he has a great book on the prayer petition. He has great resources on it. And one of the things that he talked about was that this is the quickest way to receive an answer to prayer that he has found over his lifetime. I think he's been in ministry for like 40 years. I may have that wrong. It might be a little, it may be longer, it may be less, but I think it's at least like 40 years. This is a gentleman who started very early on with Kenneth Copeland and his ministries. My wife and I are blessed to watch them. We try to make it to the Southwest Believers Convention every year in Fort Worth. And these are people that we go out of our way to listen to because they sow so much into us when they speak. And when I heard him speak about this years ago, I was like, prayer petition, what is that? And man, I grabbed onto that, and I will tell you that I've used it more than once. A prayer petition is when you go before the Lord again and present God's promises to him. Now, we're going to jump right into this, and so I want to get right into the Word, and I'm going to give you some scriptures that you can write down, and of course, you can go back and pause it or rewind it, do whatever you need to with this video, but I'm going to give you some scriptures, and these are scriptures that you should mark down and keep in your prayer journals and hang on to throughout the course of our 2 weeks, but also going forward. The reasons, and they should pop up on the screen for you. You need to mark down, I would recommend you mark down Mark 11:24. John 16:23-24, John 5:14-15, 2 Corinthians 1:20, Philippians 4:19, and then the last three actually talk about what the prayer of faith is or the prayer petition. That's James 5:15, Philippians 4:6, and Colossians 4:2. So that being said, let's jump right into the Word. The first 5 scriptures we're going to read are what I call bedrock or foundational scriptures. These are scriptures that help build confidence so that when you go and pray before God, you know that you have the confidence or the ability that you've been given the spiritual, legal access or right to pray before him. Let's get right into it. The first one we're going to read is Mark 11:24. It says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. John 16:23-24. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth. My Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. And that particular verse, that was Jesus talking to his disciples, and he was with them. So he had told them that at that point they hadn't had to ask anything. They haven't had to ask anything in his name up to that point because he was with them. But he was telling them that when he went on to be with the Father, that anything they asked the Father in his name would be given to them and that their joy would be full and it would be complete. Let's continue reading. 1 John 5:14-15. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. That is, ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have received what we asked of him. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you about that. It says in the scripture that when we ask anything according to his will, one of the things I've taught in other prayer sessions is that sometimes while people or why people are not getting their prayers answered, that's because they're not praying about the right thing. Before you go into prayer, sometimes you have to ask God, what is it you need me to seek you or pray for? And then you can get what it is you're hoping to receive. That's a real key important thing. I want to make that known. Let's keep on reading. We're going to go right into 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. This is where you hear the scripture, all his promises are yes and amen. In fact, there's a great song out there. One of the songs I like to sing when I'm in my praise and worship time before the Lord is by Bethel Music, and it's yes and amen. All his promises are yes and amen. I know what you're thinking. I should jump on the voice because I sing so good. But yes and amen. Mm-hmm. All his promises are yes and amen. Praise God. Next scripture, Philippians 4:19. My God will supply all your needs. Everybody say all. All your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, the next three scriptures we're going to cover, these actually talk and mention about the prayer of faith or the prayer of petition, and I want to read them to you. First one's James 5:15. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Now, what I told you earlier is that a prayer, a petition, or prayer of faith is finding a promise in God's word, and you are going to present that back to him. I'm going to show you how to do that in a minute. But it says right here in God's word in James 5:15, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. It also said that their sins would be forgiven. If you are sick or you know anyone who's sick, this is a direct promise from God, a direct spiritual law, a promise from God that states that the prayer of faith would save the sick, meaning all you have to do is find at least just one scripture. You don't need bunches, but you need at least one scripture that says that God has promised to heal you, and you present it back to him in a prayer of faith or prayer petition along with James 5, and you simply say, you promised me that the prayer of faith would save the sick. So I'm presenting my prayer petition or my prayer of faith back to you. Healing is a guarantee from God. It's guaranteed from God to receive healing. That's what we can do, and if we stand on his word. But sometimes people don't receive healing. Why is that? Well, we'll talk about that in other teachings, but I will tell you that when someone doesn't receive a healing, it's not because God didn't want to heal them. It's not because God couldn't heal them. It actually has to do with their ability to receive, not God's ability to perform. Let's keep on reading. The next one's Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. We're going to come back to that in a second, but I want to read you one more. Colossians 4:2. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. So you're going to continue steadfastly in prayer after you've prayed the prayer of faith or prayer petition, and you're going to be watchful in it. In other words, you're going to keep it in front of you. Habakkuk 2:2 says to write the vision and make it plain. When we write a prayer petition, we're keeping it plain and we're keeping it in front of us. We're not continuing to pray it over and over, but we're being watchful over it so we know what to expect because we're not forgetting what we prayed about, and we're in thanksgiving constantly. We're constantly thanking the Lord in faith that we've received it. Let's go back to Philippians 4:6, and I'm going to tell you how to write a prayer petition. It says Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious. In other words, don't worry about anything, but in everything, say everything, in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So he gave us three things. He said by prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your request to God. So here is how you write a prayer petition. And I'm going to tell you that, like I said, I heard Jerry Savelle say it, and I believe it with him. This is the quickest way to see results to prayer within your life. I've also heard other pastors talk about it as well, and I'm telling you it's important. A prayer petition is simply this. It's when you take out a piece of paper, or you type something up and print it out to sign, or you turn around and you get a note card or something like that. I know the pastor where I go to church at, he turns around and he talks about this, and he has some great examples about this, where he's taking a note card and he writes it. And what I'm going to tell you about that, his name is Dr. Theo Womerens. If you want to know who he is, he's from Christian Family Church, and it's Dr. Theo Womerens, great, great man of God. So This is what you do. You turn around and you take your paper or you type it up or your card. And what you do, and you take time on this. You don't just whip this out. You take time on this. You write out specifically the prayer you are asking God, whatever need it is you have, whatever desire, because it doesn't just have to be needs. I mean, maybe you've been really desiring that new Harley-Davidson motorcycle, you know, Harley-Davidson motorcycle that you can go fellowship with God on because that's just a desire of your heart. That's okay to put on this, okay? Maybe it's the new home. Maybe it's your kids going to private school. You know, maybe it's getting into college or going back to school or, you know, that raise at your job. Whatever it is, you take your petition and you write it down. You write out your prayer. And then you find scriptures that go with it, and you mark those scriptures down. It's the promises of God that you're marking that says you can have that above. Now, if you're like, well, I'm believing my college tuition's paid, but I don't see where it says college tuition paid in the Bible, find the scripture that talks about that. I mean, you could put something like, you know, my father owns cattle on 1,000 hills. Paying college tuition is no big deal for him. It's a drop in the bucket. I mean, you can do whatever you want. All my needs are met according to his riches and glory. I mean, you just find a promise in God's word and write it down. So you write your prayer out, your petition of what it is. This is your petition. You're building a petition. You write your prayer out, what it is your need or desire that you want or, you know, whatever it is. You then turn around and you write the scripture to go with it. You date it and you sign it. And you go before God and you present it before him. Isaiah 55:11 tells us that the words that we speak, words that God has spoken, cannot return to him void. They have to accomplish exactly what he said they would accomplish. So you turn around, and based on Philippians 4:6 or James 5:15, you take that prayer petition, and you present it back to him. And you say, Father God, and you pray over it. You say, this is my prayer, that you meet this need or that you meet this want, desire, whatever it is. And I'm standing on your prayer principle, your promise principle, that your promises state in the word that you've already provided this for me. And you present those promises back to him. And you say, and now I've asked you on this date, I've signed it, and I'm going to keep it in front of me. And now that I have asked, I believe that I've received, and I'm going to thank you therefore. And that is how you write a prayer petition for a prayer of faith. And then you keep that paper that you wrote, whether it's a notebook or whatever, or the thing that you typed up on the computer and then dated and signed it, or whether if it's a little note card, a flash card that you keep in your wallet or your purse or on your mirror, wherever you keep it, at your desk at work, whatever. But you turn around, and I will tell you, this isn't something you share with others. It's something you keep private. And then you turn around, and you be watchful over that, just like it talks about in Colossians 4:2. You be watchful over that, and you stay in thanksgiving until what's on that card manifests in the natural. And you believe that when you pray over it, you've already received it. You can't turn around and just be kind of lobbing a prayer like, I think I've got this. You have to know that you know that based on his promises, you already received what you've written down. Guys, I hope you found this teaching encouraging today. As always, we want to remind you to swing by our website at
Power. All right. Thank you for listening to that. That was last week's prayer petition. And I think what I'm going to do next week, I want to play for review one time the prayer of agreement and then two times the prayer of supplication. Next week is going to be the prayer of supplication.
All right.
So thank you for paying attention. Any last questions or comments?
Well, I was just thinking that's what one of my sisters said, that my mother taught them. She said write God a letter, and that's what my sister Lorena does. She write God a letter, and that's the one time she told me to. She said, Peter, she said, write God a letter and stick it in the Bible. She said, and date it.
I want to share this. This Sunday coming, I said we would do it last Sunday. I need some index cards. I want to pass out index cards. And I want people to write their prayer requests. Find a scripture and then sign that card and date it and put it in your Bible, like he suggested. Put it in your Bible. Hallelujah. So we're going to do that. And if I forget to do that, I want someone to remind me to do that on this Sunday. I know it's fourth Sunday. But praise God.
Praise God.
All right. Any other questions?
No.
All right. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for Bible study. We thank you, Lord, for Neil Reyes. And we thank you for you moving through him with the teachings that are down to earth, just where we live. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for the harvest on the seed sown tonight. We thank you, Lord, for 30, 60, 100-fold, even 1,000-fold increase in blessing. And we praise your name. We glorify your name. We honor your name. We bless your name today. Hallelujah. We ask that you would bless everyone on this call, every family representative of God, that you meet them at the point of their need and then give them superabundantly above. And again, Father God, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we give you praise, honor, glory. We magnify your name. We bless your name. In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
And amen.
Amen.
God bless you all. Love y'all. See you in the morning time.
Amen.
In a few hours.
In
a few hours.
Right early. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. God bless.
God bless you guys.
Power.
Bless y'all. Sweet, sweet.
Bluetooth connected.
Oh, yeah.